All right, you wanted it. So here it is, a deep dive on biblical covenants, how they all connect, what they mean, and how they impact us even today. And we've got a stack of sources right here ready to go, all from Dr. Mathewson's New Testament theology course. So we're talking expert insights here.
Really fascinating stuff.
Yeah, but we're not just going for a dry history lesson here. We want to uncover the story woven through these covenants, you know, God's plan for humanity.
Oh, absolutely. It's a story full of, well, twists and turns, you could say. But it all starts way back in Genesis, even before the word covenant really appears.
Right. Genesis 1 and 2, creation, kind of like the prologue, setting the stage. But is it actually a covenant? I mean, scholars debate that, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they do. Big debate. No explicit covenant language there. But Dr. Mathewson points out that there are a lot of familiar elements, you know, God as king, provisions for humanity, even stipulations for the relationship. Like laying a foundation, a blueprint for everything that follows.
Okay, yeah, I see that. God establishes this relationship with humanity, this idea of a king and his people. Things obviously go wrong, as we all know. Enter the flood. And then the Noahic covenant in Genesis 9, it's almost like God hitting this giant reset button.
It is. But it's not just a reset, right? It's a reaffirmation of God's commitment to creation.
Yeah.
That promise to never again destroy the earth with a flood. And then the rainbow, it becomes this powerful symbol of hope.
The rainbow. Wow, never thought about it like that. Yeah, this reminder of God's faithfulness, even after humanity, well, messes up big time. It definitely sets the stage for what's to come.
It does. And then what comes next is pivotal. We've got the Abrahamic covenant starting in Genesis 12. And this is where things get really interesting because it's not just about Abraham himself.
It's about God choosing him, his descendants, and ultimately blessing all nations through him. That's a huge shift. It's not just about, you know, one family or one nation anymore.
Exactly. Dr. Mathewson highlights four key elements here. Election, promises, land, descendants, blessings, the sign of circumcision, and of course, God's oath. This isn't just a casual agreement. It's a serious commitment.
And it's challenging the prevailing worldview at the time, right? This idea that God would choose one man and his descendants to bless the entire world, that's revolutionary.
Oh, absolutely. It paves the way for the inclusion of Gentiles, of all people, in God's ultimate plan. And don't forget that earlier hint in Genesis 3.15 about a seed crushing the serpent's head.
Whoa, good catch. The seed. Okay, yeah, now that promise of redemption starts to take shape. It's like a thread connecting the creation story to this much grander plan.
And if we are in Christ, we are part of that story. I mean, it's mind-blowing when you consider the scope of what God is doing.
Absolutely. So we've got this promise to Abraham, but then God establishes the nation of Israel. So where does the Mosaic covenant in Exodus 19 fit into all this? Does it replace the Abrahamic covenant?
That's a great question. It doesn't replace it. Think of it more as a, well, more detailed roadmap for how God is working with a specific group, Israel, to bring about those promises.
So like a specific set of rules and guidelines to help them live out their calling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Blessings for obedience, consequences for disobedience. It's all about guiding this chosen nation toward their purpose, which ultimately ties back to that Abrahamic promise of blessing all nations.
Okay, so the Mosaic Covenant is like a zoomed-in view, showing us how God works through specific people and groups to accomplish his bigger goals. But then we get to the Davidic Covenant.
Ah, yes. 2 Samuel 7. God promises David an eternal dynasty. It's even bigger than just one ruler. It points toward an everlasting kingdom.
And this is where things get really interesting, right? Because David, as a ruler, it echoes Adam's mandate to rule creation back in Genesis. But this time, it's done right.
You're spot on. David's a flawed human, but God chooses him and his lineage to establish this everlasting kingdom. But as we read the Psalms in Isaiah, we realize that this kingdom is still future.
This not yet fulfillment, as theologians call it. We get these glimpses of a Davidic king who will rule over the whole world. It sets the stage for understanding Jesus in a whole new light.
It's all coming together. But before we get to Jesus, there's one more crucial piece of the puzzle, the new covenant.
The game changer. This is where God promises something radical, a transformation from the inside out.
Exactly. The Old Testament repeatedly shows humanity's struggle to keep the law, right? The new covenant comes with a guaranteed solution.
It's not just external rules anymore. It's a changed heart. God's law written on our hearts, forgiveness that truly sticks, and the Holy Spirit making it all possible. This is huge.
It is. And remember, this isn't just for ancient Israel. This new covenant is the foundation of our relationship with God through Christ today.
So all these covenants, they're not just isolated stories. They're building towards something bigger, something amazing. And that something is. Exactly. But how does Jesus connect to all of this? We'll have to pick that up in part two. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Picking up right where we left off, how Jesus fulfills all those biblical covenants we've been unpacking. It's like he's the missing piece of this giant puzzle.
That's a great analogy. Each covenant points forward to Jesus. And in him, they all come together. Really profound when you think about it.
So let's start with the Abrahamic covenant. God promised to bless all nations through Abraham's seed. And we see that play out in a powerful way in the New Testament.
Oh, absolutely. The gospel writers, especially Matthew, intentionally connect Jesus back to Abraham. It's no accident that he's called both the son of David and the son of Abraham.
Matthew's really emphasizing Jesus's lineage there, highlighting how those ancient promises are finding their fulfillment. It's like he's saying, hey, pay attention. This is what God has been planning all along.
Right. And think about those magi. Those wise men who came from the east to worship the newborn king, they weren't Jewish, they were Gentiles.
That's such a cool detail. Yeah, it shows that those blessings promised to Abraham were already starting to reach beyond Israel, even during Jesus's infancy.
Exactly. And it foreshadows the global impact of Jesus' ministry. The Apostle Paul picks up on this theme, too. In Galatians 3, he argues that the promise to Abraham wasn't about multiple descendants' seeds, but a singular seed.
And that seed, according to Paul, is Christ, the true heir of Abraham, through whom all nations will be blessed.
You got it. But it gets even better. Paul goes on to say that we, as believers in Christ, are also included in that seed. We become children of Abraham through faith.
So we're grafted into this incredible lineage. We become part of that spiritual family, heirs to those same promises. Man, that changes everything.
It does. And it highlights the communal aspect of God's covenants, too. They're not just about individual blessings, but about creating a people, a community who will reflect God's character to the world.
That's powerful. So how does the Mosaic covenant fit into all of this? It seems like with the new covenant, the old rules are kind of, well, outdated.
That's a common misconception. The Mosaic covenant was never meant to be the end game. It played a vital role in God's plan, but it was temporary.
So what was its purpose then?
Think of it as a protective barrier around Israel, helping to preserve them as a distinct people through whom God would bring forth the Messiah. The law itself, while challenging, had a deeper purpose.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What was it?
It was designed to reveal our need for a Savior. It acted as a mirror, showing us our inability to fully obey God on our own.
So the law wasn't about earning our way to God. It was about highlighting our need for grace. And that's where the new covenant comes in. It doesn't abolish the law. It fulfills it in a way the Mosaic covenant couldn't.
Exactly. Remember those incredible promises in Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36? God says he'll write his law on our hearts, forgive our sins, and give us his Holy Spirit. It's not about external rule following anymore. It's internal transformation.
It's a total game changer. But how does Jesus actually bring about this new covenant?
His death and resurrection are the key. Jesus becomes the mediator of this new covenant. Through him, we receive forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, and the power to change. He takes that old, imperfect covenant and elevates it to a whole new level.
It's mind-blowing. And as we surrender to Christ, the Holy Spirit begins to transform us from the inside out, making us more and more like him.
That's the beauty of the new covenant. But remember, we're living in this tension, the already but not yet. We experience new covenant blessings now, but the full realization awaits us in the new creation.
Right. So we've got the Abrahamic covenant finding its fulfillment in Christ, the Mosaic covenant leading us to the new covenant, which is also fulfilled in Christ. But what about the Davidic covenant, that promise of an eternal kingdom? How does Jesus fulfill that?
Great question. It all comes down to Jesus's identity as the son of David and the nature of his kingdom. We've seen how the Gospels emphasize his lineage, connecting him to that Davidic promise.
Right. But his kingdom isn't a typical earthly kingdom. He says it's not of this world.
Exactly. Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom of hearts transformed by grace. And his authority is evident in his miracles, his teaching, and ultimately his victory over death through the resurrection.
So we see glimpses of his kingly authority even now, but it's not yet fully realized.
Exactly. That's where that already but not yet tension comes in again. Jesus reigns now, but we still await his return, when he will establish his kingdom on earth in all its fullness.
So we're living in this in-between time, but that doesn't mean we just sit around and wait passively. We're called to be ambassadors of his kingdom, right?
Absolutely. We represent his kingdom now by living out his values. Justice, compassion, and grace.
So each covenant is not only fulfilled in Jesus, but also shapes how we live and how we understand our place in God's story. We're not just passive observers, we're active participants.
You've got it. And that's a really important point to remember as we move into the final part of our deep dive.
Stay tuned, because in part three, we'll explore how all of this impacts our lives today and how we can live in light of this already, but not yet, reality. All right, welcome back to our deep dive into biblical covenants. We've explored their history, their meaning, and how they all point to Jesus. But now, let's get practical. How do these ancient agreements impact our lives today?
Yeah, that's the key question, right? It's easy to get lost in all the academic details.
Yeah.
But these covenants are meant to shape, shape how we live, how we see ourselves, and how we relate to God and to others.
So it's not just about understanding the past, it's about living out these truths in the present. Where do we even begin?
Well, let's go back to that foundation we talked about in Genesis 1 and 2, the creation covenant. Remember, even though the word covenant isn't used there, we see God establishing this relationship with humanity, making provision for us, even setting boundaries.
Right. It all starts with relationship. Yeah. God's desire to connect with us. It's mind-blowing when you think about it.
It is. And that desire for relationship, it underpins everything that follows. It's the driving force behind God's plan of redemption. Even when humanity messes up, God doesn't give up on us.
Which brings us to the Noahic covenant. God promises never again to destroy the earth with a flood. That rainbow becomes this symbol of hope, a reminder of his faithfulness, even in the face of our failures.
Exactly. It's like God is saying, you know, I'm committed to you, to creation, no matter what. And that sets the stage for the Abrahamic covenant, where God chooses Abraham and promises to bless all nations through him.
Okay, so how does that promise made thousands of years ago affect us today? I mean, we're not Abraham's direct descendants.
True, but remember, as believers in Christ, we're grafted into that lineage of blessing. We become part of Abraham's spiritual family through faith. We inherit those promises.
So it's not just some ancient history lesson. It's about our identity, our place in God's family. We are a part of something much, much bigger than ourselves.
And as children of Abraham, we're called to be a blessing to others, just as God promised to bless all nations through him. It's a global mission, extending God's grace and love to the world.
That's incredible. Speaking of mission, what about the Mosaic Covenant? I mean, we're not under the Old Testament law anymore, are we?
Right. We're not bound by the ceremonial and civil laws of ancient Israel. Mm. But the moral principles embodied in the law, they're timeless. Think about the Ten Commandments. They're still relevant today.
They are. Those core values of loving God and loving our neighbor, they provide a framework for making ethical choices, for living a life that honors God.
Exactly. And while we can't earn our salvation through rule keeping, those principles still guide us toward right living. The Mosaic Covenant, in a way, it prepared us for the New Covenant.
New Covenant, the game changer. Now, this is where things get really, really personal.
Absolutely. The New Covenant, made possible through Jesus, is it's the foundation of our relationship with God. It's about forgiveness, transformation, and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. That's a game changer for sure. We're not left to our own devices to figure out how to live a godly life. We have this incredible helper guiding us and empowering us.
Right. And as we surrender to the Holy Spirit, we begin to experience that internal transformation that Jeremiah and Ezekiel talked about. Our hearts are changed, our desires are realigned, and we become more and more like Christ.
It's an ongoing process, this transformation. We're living in that already but not yet tension. We experience the new covenant blessings now, but we're still waiting for the fullness of that reality in the new creation.
Exactly. We have this incredible hope, this future to look forward to. But what about the Davidic covenant? How does that promise of an eternal kingdom shape our lives today?
Well, we know Jesus is that king, but his kingdom isn't fully established yet, right? Yeah. So how do we live as citizens of a kingdom that's not yet fully here?
That's a great question. We live as ambassadors of his kingdom, representing him and his values in every area of our lives. It's about living with confidence, knowing that our King is in control, even when things seem chaotic.
So we don't just sit around and wait for his return. We actively participate in his kingdom work right now, showing compassion, pursuing justice, and extending grace to others. It's about bringing a little bit of heaven to earth.
You've got it. And that's what's so amazing about these covenants. They're not just dusty relics of the past. Mm-hmm. They're living, breathing realities that shape our identity, our purpose, and our hope.
It's been an incredible journey exploring these truths with you, and I hope our listeners are as amazed by the power and relevance of these covenants as we are.
Absolutely. They provide a framework for understanding God's heart, his plan for humanity, and our place in this incredible story.
And it's a story that's still being written. We get to be a part of it. We encourage you to continue pondering these concepts, to discover how they can enrich your walk with God, and to live out the reality of his covenant faithfulness in your own life.
Well, that's it for our deep dive on biblical covenants. Thanks for joining us.